today. But let's pull down that glory of God. Let's open up our heart. Let's open up our understanding. Let's let God be God in this place here today. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Reading out of the book of Matthew chapter 24 and then right into 2 Timothy chapter 3. Reading this morning, Matthew 24, 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach for a little while on the subject I titled, Out of Focus. Out of Focus. The Bible clearly teaches that society will degenerate in the end times, becoming as evil as it was in the days of Noah. Society will also descend into a black pit of immorality, violence, and paganism. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. People will be boastful, arrogant, and unholy. And in this type of hostile atmosphere, many will quit serving God. But I'm here to tell you, I think I'm with a part. We're not going to stop serving God. We're going to raise the banner high. We're going to give God's name to this world. Hallelujah. The Bible says the end times will be an age of deception. And today we are being bombarded with false but alluring religions and with systems offered by the Christian cults and the Eastern religions and the new movement. But Hebrews tells us in Scripture that God never changes. He never changes. The New Testament says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. Have you? Oh, hallelujah. We are moving toward the time that we must believe in and activate the power that God has put within us. 2 weeks ago, I preached on that subject, such as I have, such as I have, give I thee, such as I have, give I thee. If you don't believe you've got such as you have, how are you going to make heaven your home? If you don't believe such as you have that came from God, how are you going to get somebody healed? Stop waiting for somebody else to have something. Stop waiting for somebody else to be used of God. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, it's inside, such as you have. He gave it to you. The Holy Ghost is God's indwelling presence to provide us with power and guidance. Don't you think it would be more godly when you need to know something to go to God before you go to Google? Hello? Google doesn't have all the answers. somebody put something in there. They may not have the Holy Ghost. They may not be baptized in Jesus' name. So how do you know what they're giving you is what you really need? But from Him. I said, from Him. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God is our enabler. You know, I never knew a lot about this word enabler before I started my drug and alcohol ministry in Lewistown. And then that word popped up a whole lot. That sometimes the alcoholic can't give it up. Sometimes the drug addict can't give it up because somebody close to them enables them to keep doing that. I want to be close to Him. I want Him to enable me to do what He wants us to do. Acts 1:8 said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." How can you have the Holy Ghost and not have power? How can you be filled with the Spirit and not have such as I have down inside of you? How can you be baptized in Jesus' name and sit on a pew and let everybody else be used of God? You hear that pin drop? Got quiet. I'm talking about sitting in His presence. I'm talking about getting to a place that you can't even hold your arms down. You know, when I was younger, I would say, well, I shouldn't do it, but I would say, you know, let's raise our hands and love God. Now, you people that's got them halfway up, come on, get them all the way up. You don't want a half a blessing. But then I got older, and you know, there seems to be a spot that's normal. But if you want more, you have to force them all the way. This is not the blessing I want. This is the blessing that I want. Hallelujah! C.S. Lewis, a famous writer, he made this statement: "We are to live like commandos behind the enemy lines, preparing the way for the coming of our commander and chief." Hallelujah. Stop worrying about the devil and let the devil start worrying about you. Sometimes we spend more time talking about what the devil's trying to do to us than we are talking about what God wants to do to us. It's too bad if you know the devil better than you know God. That's not a good thing. You're out of focus. Now, Brother Wilson's from the old school, so I don't know how these fancy phones work with taking pictures. You know, they put a backwards button in there because everywhere I go, I see people trying to take a picture of themselves. But I remember the days when you had a camera and you peeked through the little square up there, and then you put your hand in front and you made an adjustment. And you adjusted it where you thought that it was clear. It's picture worthy now. But I'm afraid that too many of us, the devil has taken our camera and he's kind of put it out of focus on us. Everything's still there. It's all in the picture, but you just can't see it very well. God, make my focus the focus that comes from glory. God, make my focus a holy focus. Woo! Jesus Christ will come from the heavens to bring peace, righteousness, and justice to the earth. Hallelujah. Can we go? Amen. Can we go 1 week? I challenge you from this moment till next Sunday at this time when the preacher's preaching. I challenge you not to think about the devil, not to talk about what the devil does. I challenge you every time you feel something coming that you begin to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to take greater as he that is in you and use it. Oh, hallelujah. And the lame man was at the gate. Beautiful. Peter and John came by, and he asked alms of them. Here's where some of you get in trouble. Peter said, look on us. We don't want anybody looking at us. Don't you look at me. Don't take my picture. But Peter said, look on us. Silver and gold have we none. But he said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. But that wasn't the end of the story. The such as he has in him, he used. Such as I have, give I thee. Would you stand with me? Rise and walk. Hallelujah. Thank you. He got a hold of his arm, got a hold of his hand, and he helped him to get up. Why? Because Peter had something. There was no doubt in his mind. He didn't say, such as I have, give I thee. Is it going to happen? Is he getting up? Hey, John, I'm afraid to look at him. Is anything happening? If that's the way they'd have felt, that guy would have still been sitting there. But because they knew what God had given to them, they knew that it was resident inside of them. They didn't have to stop and say a 10-minute prayer about how God can heal, how the blood of Jesus Christ was shed that we could have our healing. They didn't have to go through that discourse. They didn't have to consider, you know, what did daddy sin? Did mama sin? You know, did this man do something that he's born that way? They knew what they had inside of them. What's going to get that man up on his feet and into the temple to worship God? They were in focus, not out of focus. Not everyone is blessed with the favor of God. And I'm afraid some of the children of God are not realizing the favor God has put on your life. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Is that up there? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our destiny is not to please the world. Too many Christians are so caught up in the world that they live in. They're not thinking about the return of Jesus Christ. I want you to know God has put favor upon you if you're a part of the church. And you need to start giving God praise. It's raining outside. You've got to run into the store. But just as you pull up, the guy closest to the door pulls out. You get to pull in. Do you think that was an accident? Well, Brother Wilson, that never happens to me. That's probably because you never talk about it. You never ask him, God, I need a parking place close. Huh? Huh? I have nothing against people that are handicapped, and they got a handicap sticker, and they got a place to park, and nobody else should be in there. But my God can give you a good parking place without a handicap sticker. Hello? He can put you right at the head of the line. I want you to understand this. We're not trying to please this world. Don't you try to please them. If you're talking to somebody and they go to another church, don't you back down. Don't you just let them do all the talking. That thing that's down inside of you, that glory of God, bring it into focus. Watch God focus the scriptures right in your head, and you begin to tell them about your Jesus. You know, when that person comes through the door in the wheelchair, and at the close of the service or whenever, they feel like they need prayer, and they get wheeled right up here in the front, and two or three people are up here praying with them when they get out of that chair and begin to walk, don't you think you'd like to have been a part of that? Wouldn't you like to have been standing right there next to that person? Wouldn't you like to have been a part of that? Until you believe that what you have inside of you is able to get a person out of a wheelchair. If you believe, you know, that what's inside of you can heal cancer, can heal heart conditions, can save souls. Until you believe that you've got it in here, you'll be afraid to be a part of a miracle. But I don't want to be afraid of a miracle, you know. I come to church expecting a miracle. Brother Jeremy was right on this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We have got to raise our expectations. We've got to come beyond, I'm just going to church. I'm just going to church. It's Sunday morning. I'm just going to church. I know. Who knows? Maybe God will bless. Who knows? Maybe we'll have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But it's Sunday morning, so I'm just going to church. How about it? Sunday morning, I got a privilege. I get to go to church. And God, while I'm there, you know, this such as I have down inside of me, would you get it focused just right this morning? Would you use me, God, in a miracle? Would you use me in the gifts of the Spirit? God, would you let me be a blessing? Hallelujah. When a person comes to truly believe that Jesus is returning and that he may return at any moment, that person will be motivated to true holiness and evangelism. Yeah. True holiness is in here. It lives in here. Evangelism is what we take here and share it out there. Whew. Hallelujah. You know, could the enemy be stealing your today with your worries about tomorrow? Oh. We want that one to soak in. Could the enemy be stealing your today with your worrying about tomorrow? When the scripture said today is the day of salvation, it actually meant today. You know, it didn't mean, well, you know, I got this condition, and if Brother Wilson will preach the right message, if Brother Pastor would preach the right message, if whoever's up there would just sing the right song, and everything flows together, I can get my healing. You know? If you're looking at somebody that's got the goods, You don't need a song and you don't need a sermon. That person has within them the power and the authority to make it happen. But because we have this inferiority complex, I don't want to be out front. I don't want people watching me. I mean, what if I go up there and I pray for that person in a wheelchair and I just know they're going to get up and I jump back and say, walk! And they just sit there. Now, Brother Wilson, I don't want to go through that. Neither do I. But you see, it's not you providing the healing. It's you providing such as you have, and you're giving it to them. It's up to God to get them out of the chair. Whew. Hallelujah. You know, I went through that one time. I had a woman that had a real bad backache. I mean, she was almost bent over. It was hurting her so bad, you know. And I'm preaching a revival, and boy, as soon as I give the altar call, here she come. You know, people's around her, they're praying for her, and they're praying for her. And finally, the Lord says, you go pray for her. Well, she's got 50 people praying for her, God. You go pray for her. So I went over there and I said, now look, God told me to come over here and pray for you. So that simply means this. When I get done praying, you're going to straighten up and not have back problems anymore. Can you believe that? She said, yes. So I took my big old hand and I put it over the top of her head. And I began to pray for this back pain to leave that body and whatever was causing her to be bent over, to be straightened out. And I in Jesus' name, I pulled my hand back. And there she stood. Oh. She didn't act like she was none better. As a matter of fact, she might have been a little worse. And so, Brother Wilson said, let's do this again. That one didn't quite work the way it was supposed to. So I went through it again, prayed for her. And I opened my eyes and moved my hand, and there she stood. Oh. She might have been worse more than she was before. But I don't know. Ever since I was a little boy, I have been competitive. I don't like to be beat by anybody for any reason. My oldest son was point guard on the basketball team, and he was point guard because Daddy never let up on him. Come on, see if you can get around me, boy. See if you can get up there where Daddy can't stuff it back in your face. And Daddy would go, poof, and down he'd go. You can't score from down there. What's the matter with you? Get up. Let's do this again. So he tried that maneuver on Dad. He got out in front of me, and he turned his back on me. He starts trying to back me under. So he kept backing me and backing me and backing me till I knew he was pushing hard, and then I just turned sideways. Down he went. Daddy had the ball. That ain't going to work on me. Not going to work on anybody that's taller than you. Until he was good enough that his freshman year, they put him as point guard of the varsity team. The youngest one, he was good in soccer. But you think Dad was going to let him get a free goal? Ain't no way. That guy you're playing against, he's not going to want you to make a goal, so I'm that guy. And I was that guy, looked at that lady, and I said, you know, this is enough of this. My God said, and we're going to pray in his name, and this is going to happen. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust what I'm telling you. I'm going to lay my hand on your head, and I'm going to pray for this thing to be healed. And as soon as you hear me say, be healed, I want you to straighten up. You got to do it. Don't wait for the angel to come down here and put you in place. You straighten up. And we prayed that third time in Jesus' name. And I said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And that lady straightened her back up. She said, "Woo! I don't have any pain. I don't feel anything wrong. I'm telling you, my God does it. My God does it. My God does it. My God does it. My God's a healer. My God's a deliverer. My God is your God." Woo! When you know that God is orchestrating your life for the good, then there's no need for you to worry. You know? I picked up a saying years ago, and it stuck with me. If you're going to pray about something, then why worry? But if you're going to be worried about something, why pray? Make up your mind. Are you going to pray and not worry about it? Or are you going to worry about it and probably still pray and still worry about it? Or are you going to let God be God? Amen. Brother Wilson, what you're telling me is I need to move to the forefront and be available for God to use me. Absolutely. If you've got the Holy Ghost, if you're born of water and of the Spirit, absolutely. Don't look around and say, well, I see this need. I'm watching Brother Wilson. I'm going to see if he picks up on it. You see that need, get up and go take care of it. If you're out there in the field, you know, you don't need to make a phone call to the pastor. Pray the prayer of faith. The only call you should have to make to him is, "Pastor, get the water ready. We're coming to church." Hallelujah. And folks, we got the water ready. I said, we got the water ready. Hallelujah. God can baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And one of these preachers will baptize you in Jesus' name. Woo, hallelujah, if you happen to be here without it. The reason that we advance in our relationship with God is because we continue to renew our mind. Our mind is where our power is seated at. The devil likes to mess with your mind. Those kind of little whispers, "You can't do that. That's only for the preacher. You can't do that. You're not living like you should." I'm going to tell you what, if you ever get a thought in your mind, you're not living like you should, you better hit a place to pray. Because Jesus is coming, and he may come before you get that prayer out. So you got to be ready. Whew. Romans 12:2 said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God has one will. It is perfect. I said it is perfect. God does not have a permissive will. "Well, I think God's going to permit me to do this till I get strong enough that I can be perfect with him." No, you're either perfect or you're not. You know? It's kind of like you're either breathing or you're not. You see, the devil is using what you care about, your car, your home, your children, whatever, to drive you crazy. Because he is after your mind, so you will lose your power. You know, I mean, I cannot tell you the number of times I've had a mother bring up a child and say, "Would you pray for my child? They're just the meanest thing in all the world." "Well, lady, he's 8 years old. How come you waited this long?" Huh. You bring him when you can't handle him. How is it you got where you couldn't handle an 8-year-old? If you're here and you're 8 years old, nah, you know. If you're here and you got an 8-year-old, God never, ever intended for a child to tell the parents how it's going to be. My stepfather, who raised me from the age of 2, he was a man of few words, and no was one of his best ones. When Dad said no, he went to Mom. And Mom was smart enough to say, "Did you talk to your dad about that?" "Well, you know, I said something." "What'd he say?" "He said no." "Well, then the answer is no." If it was something you thought you could get away with Mom, you went to her first. And Mom was smart enough to hear everything out, and when you got finished, she'd say, "You need to go talk to your dad." Well, Dad's vocabulary is very limited, Mom. I mean, he's probably saying no when he sees me coming. Oh, my. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take no thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You can be so sidetracked by tomorrow that you don't live for God today. Don't get so distracted by the battle you're going through today that you're letting the pleasures that have come tomorrow slip away. When Jesus "Take no thought of tomorrow," he is actually telling us, do not be distracted. That's from the original. "Take no thought of tomorrow. Be not distracted." The last part of that verse says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Meaning, tomorrow will be anxious for itself. It shall bring with it its own anxieties and worry. So leave it alone. Stop trying to live in the future. Start living in the now. Stop trying to live in the past. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You need to learn to live today. Ooh. I like my little quiet time I have with the Lord in the morning. And when I get out there and I get myself a hot cup of coffee, I sit in my soft recliner and I start sipping my coffee and I say, "Morning, God. Thank you for giving me another day that I can breathe. You know? Thanks, God, that I'm not looking up at the grass, but I'm looking down on it." You know? When I die, there are people that will probably be at my funeral because they want to throw dirt in my face. But I don't care because I ain't going to be in there. I'm going to be up here saying, "Nah, nah, 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 gotcha." I told you I was competitive. I'll be competitive out of the grave, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at it like this. You take that camera, not camera phone. You take that camera and you put it to your eye to snap a photo. But before you snap the photo, you turn the lens until you hear yourself say, "Got it." And then you can snap the picture. Well, you know, you might have it in focus, but you might have the camera making the person stand clear over here on the opposite side. Or you might have them. Anybody know what close-ups are? You know what close-up is? And if I get that camera and I get right up here and I almost touch your nose with it, all I can see is his nose and his teeth. Is that the picture I want? Hey, I want to show you a picture of one of my best little friends. Look at this. It's just nose and teeth. Yeah, he's got a good nose and he's got good teeth. Yeah. You want to get that person in the center. You want to make sure you got background that makes them look better. And some of you folks right now are saying, no matter what you do, I'll never look better, Brother Wilson. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You got to get out of that thinking. You got to get out of that rut. But you get it focused just right, and you snap. Sure. You know? Now, in my day, it used to be you had to send them away and get them developed, and you had to wait till you got them back to see if they were any good. Now, with these fancy cameras today, you say, well, I don't like that one. Let's erase it. Let's do another one. Jesus is trying to get you to understand what he is looking for in you, what he's thinking of about you. He's already got you in focus. When he snaps that picture of what he wants you to be, it's because he knows above a shadow and a doubt, you can be what God wants you to be. You can do what God wants you to do. Never in all of my life have I heard God say to me, now I want you to do this, but your PhD is not enough education. You got to go back to school. Never once has God ever mentioned PhD to me. I'm sorry, I'm telling you a mistruth. He did one time. You know, it is like, I am going to put a PhD on you, my son. When I get done praying, you're going to have a PhD. It stands for. Oh, you don't know what PhD stands for? Past having doubts. Past having doubts. I'd like to give every one of you a PhD this morning. I'd like to see something happen to you in this service before it's over, that you come unglued from your chair, that you come unglued from your thought patterns, that you come unglued from what you think yourself. I want you to get in his presence. I want you to say, God, use me. I want you to say, God, here I am. Take what I am and make me what you want me to be. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 says this, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I ask you this question. You look in front of the mirror. You don't like what you see. You wonder what you can do to change whatever is there. What you're saying is, God, I don't like the way you made me. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way you created me. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I don't have enough education. And God's saying, if you just take what I give you, I can make something out of it. But you keep telling me you don't want what you are. I like to tell people, they come, you know, they might be a bit overweight. And they said, Brother Wilson, I want you to pray for me. I can lose this weight. Well, child, you're not too fat. You're just too short for how much you weigh. That's all. You know, don't worry about it. God has touched us there, but there are some things that have not been cleared up or brought to focus. Our opinions, our attitudes, our reactions, and our decisions. They need to be brought into focus. Don't tell God you can't do something. God has already given you the ability to learn how to do it. If you set your mind to it, you can learn how to do it. But if you want that short arm worship, God has touched us. If your destiny is heaven and you need to see right to make a decision, then we need to see the detail, the focus, to do the right things. Stop looking at somebody else. Stop thinking, I'd like to be like them. Stop thinking about, well, man, they sure know how to worship God. You understand this. There's going to be a price that you must pay, and it's not dollars that for you to get where God wants you to be. If you want to be where somebody else is, then you go fight the battles they had to fight. You go through the situation they had to go through, and then you can deserve that. But the best thing for you is, okay, God, here I am. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I get out of my chair in the morning and I walk across the living room and I'm saying, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Why? He's lovely. He's perfect. This is my God. Hallelujah. He put me here for a purpose. He put me here for a reason. I do not believe I am in State College, in Center Point Ministry by accident. I don't think this was an accidental happening. I don't think it was an accident. When I gave my church up in Lewistown for Pastor Cluster to become the pastor of that, I don't think meeting him was a mistake. I'm telling you what I'm thinking is, God said to me, I got some more for you to do, and I need to position you into a different place. And when you get into that place, I'm going to use you. Whew. Wow. You see, you're not serving God so you can stay out of hell. You're serving God because you want to go and live with Him through eternity. Amen. Uh-huh. Boy, if I can just get that Holy Ghost, get baptized in Jesus' name, whoo, I don't have to worry about going to hell. You forgot about something, you got to keep it. You got to keep it once you get it. You got to keep it. Hallelujah. You know, it's got to go beyond. Brother Wilson, I cannot raise my arms that far. Then when you praise God, raise them as far as you can. And then push them another inch. And then next time, push them another inch. And one of these days, not very far in the future, somebody will say, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Up they'll go all the way as far as they will reach. Why? Because, my God, I'm reaching out to you. This great God that we serve and we live for. Scripture says we're supposed to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly. Boy, I could stay there and preach for a while. How many really live sensibly? We don't rely on our senses to make our decisions. We allow on our feelings to make our decisions. I know what it's like to want a new car and to sit down and say, we can't afford one. We can't do this, you know, and you get the budget up there, you know, and you start this stuff. Well, if we wouldn't do that, or if we cut this out twice a month, just did it twice, you know, we can cut here, we can cut there. You know what's going to happen? You're going to go in over your head. Because nobody likes to give up anything they already have. I'm doing it. I like it. I'm not giving it up. That's the way you ought to be facing it, unless it's ungodly. We are to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It takes work to stay saved. I said it takes work to stay saved. You don't get it once and done. You've got to get it over and over and over. One prayer is not going to get you through your life. You've got to learn how to pray. You've got to make yourself pray. You've got to learn how to worship and make yourself worship. You've got to learn how to give God over to God and let God take over. It takes hard work. But I promise you, it's going to be worth it. Can we get you into focus this morning? Can we actually get you into focus? I read a poem the other day about going to heaven. I just skimmed through it because I didn't think I would use it for anything, but here it is in my head now. You know, it talked about when I go to heaven, I have to leave you. And I'll be so sad. You know, that's not a Holy Ghost writer. When I go to heaven and you're not there, I'm not even going to know it. I won't miss you one bit. I'll be too busy. First 10,000 years, I'm going to be at his feet praising him. You know? Well, when I go to heaven, you know, my mind will be up on all the good times we had together. No! My mind's going to be on him. My mind's going to be on praise, on worship. When I go to heaven, I want to see him. Yeah, there's some things in the Bible that I like to get answers to, but it'll be 10,000 years before I get calmed down with my praise and worship, before I can ask him a question. Why? You know why? Because as much as I like to jump and shout and run down here, I just can't bring myself to do it. But when I get over there, everybody's going to be jumping and running and shouting, and I'm going to make my mark. Hallelujah. Yes, God, if you get me to jumping down here, praise God, I'll jump. If God, if you put run in my feet, I'll run. If you put a shout in my voice, I'm going to shout. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my life in focus. I'm going to make sure I'm living for you. I'm worshiping you. I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And I'm going to give you praise and glory for it all. Would you stand with us?